Christmas tree out for us to pick it up. So, from everybody at Bristol Waste, thank you for being the best recyclers and have a holly jolly holiday.
Ujima Radio, simply the best.
Ujima Radio, I wanted the best radio station in the world.
Here are the ingredients.
Happy Kwanzaa, it's a celebration. Kwanzaa, pour your libation. Kwanzaa, the ancestors smiling down.
Kwanzaa, what you gonna do? Spending with my family, chill with the crew. We gonna share gifts, you don't have to spend loot. We celebrate culture, our African roots.
Happy Kwanzaa.
All right.
There is so much we can do.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Come on everybody and show your pride. A little Kwanzaa slide. 7 is the magic number. Yeah, it's Kwanzaa time.
Kwanzaa. Yeah, Kwanzaa. Celebrate Kwanzaa. All praises to the Creator.
The heart of Bristol.
Keep on moving.
You're listening to Ujima 98 FM.
Hi, I'm Meg Cox and I'm a sustainable fashion stylist and runway event organiser.
And I'm Mary Minor, singer, songwriter and performer, and you're listening to the Persona Power Podcast.
The Persona Power Podcast is about using sustainable fashion and self-care as tools to step into your confidence, protect your mental health and strengthen your identity.
Because when you know who you are, you can thrive anywhere, on stage, online, and in everyday life. Welcome to another episode of the Persona Power Podcast.
Hey, welcome back.
I'm Mary Mina.
And I'm Meg Cox.
I've started changing the way that I pronounce my name, which you may have noticed. I don't know why, but I actually prefer it.
It's like an evolution, isn't it?
It's an evolution.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we've got Mary Minor, Mary Mina, Francis.
Yeah.
We've got Mary in the Mirror.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have a fluctuating identity, for sure.
Ooh, sorry.
That's
sorry.
All right.
I just knocked my mic. I'm back.
She's back. She's here. So what are we talking about today, Meg?
Today we're talking about post-project depression. So as this podcast is about talking about creative practices, talking about sustainable fashion, talking about wellness, mental health. I had recently experienced post-project depression, and this was after my runway, and I've experienced this after every runway, after every big project that I've done, and I thought it might be good to explore that today as, like, Mary, you're a creative too, and I think a lot of people do experience this, so I thought it was quite a valuable conversation to have and explore, because we're not all alone in this. Everybody can feel low after achieving something, and have you ever felt it?
Oh, definitely, yeah. In fact, I went into post-project depression after my last single release, which was over a year ago now, and I think it's what's held me back from releasing another track. And even now, I've just sent my next track off to be distributed for release, and there was all this sort of trepidation because I was feeling really, like, anxious, because the feeling was so bad after the last one that I just don't want to go through that again. I think my brain's trying to protect me. So yeah, it was really horrible and really intense.
Yeah, it's almost that's a shame that it's holding you back from your next one. Is it a pressure to achieve a certain thing, or what are those feelings?
The feelings are just the fear, because I went into burnout after the last one, and I think it was because I just invested so much energy and so much love, and but at the same time I was going through grief, and yeah, I think it was just too much pressure. I'd put too much pressure on myself, and I think it's that need for things to be perfect as well. I tried so hard, and then I wasn't really getting the reactions that I wanted on my social media posts, and I mean, when I look back with hindsight, it wasn't that bad. It's just that the one before had done so well, and I think because I was on such a high from the one previously, that I had high expectations of this, the next one being even better. Mm-hmm. That I felt like I was building upon it, and when it didn't go as well as I'd hoped, that kind of led to like internal feelings of not being good enough, of questioning whether I was on the right path, and yeah, just feeling pretty low, to be fair. Mm. What about you?
Yeah, definitely. I feel, I guess as a creative, you connect a lot of value to your creations. Like, you put your heart and your soul into it, don't you?
You do.
So when, maybe if, like yourself, if it hasn't turned out in the way that you had imagined, it can make you feel less worthy of what you're doing. I put everything, it's very, my runways are very all-consuming. They take over my life, quite literally.
Yeah.
And I put a lot of my passion, my inspiration into it, and then when I'm not working on that anymore, there's like a void, and I feel like I'm not motivated anymore. I don't have a goal that I'm working towards. I feel quite lost, and because I'm not working on something that I can add value into, I almost feel like I don't have value anymore, which is not, it's not true. I'm aware that I hold like my value isn't just in my work, isn't just in that project, but it is, it's a intrusive thought that comes in.
It's so relatable. Yeah. I, you know, when I think back to how much effort it takes to release a single, it's no wonder that I could easily end up feeling down again, because I am having to produce a lot of content. So I'm having to, you know, create looks for that, create makeup looks, create fashion looks, you know, edit the content, you know, spend a bit of time curating that content, planning release strategies, getting photos done, and then reaching out to radio stations, reaching out to press, and all of that's on me, and that's on top of having created the music, written the song, produced the song, and I think I was really trying hard to do it all myself as well, which was a lot of pressure. I mean, it's so many different roles that I was trying to do, so it's no wonder. And I wanted to do it. I was kind of trying to prove to myself, if not the world, that I could do it, that I could be like an empowered woman that was doing it for myself. But the truth is, as a solo music artist, if you haven't got a team, it is a lot. It's a lot to take on. And it's different if you're a solo artist too, if you're working with a band. If you're working with a band, then you can share the roles with the people in the band. But when you're a solo artist, it's all on you. So, yeah, I mean, it's no wonder that I had burnout and depression afterwards.
Yeah, it takes a lot. And when you're hyper-focused on something, it's quite easy to get consumed by it. And it's quite easy to focus all of your energy constantly on that thing. And then once it's gone, have you done anything post-project that has helped you get through, or are there certain things that you've noticed that you've gone through during it or after it? Sorry.
Yeah, sure. So I noticed after that release that my energy levels had dropped, that my motivation had dropped for making music, that my passion had seemed to have vanished, and I knew, I sort of recognised that I was having. It was more of a low level depression and burnout. I mean, the first thing I did was take a holiday, take some time off.
Nice.
And after 2 weeks, I actually felt like I hadn't taken enough time off. So yeah, it was hard. It was a hard time. And I put myself on the waiting list for therapy. And I've just been through, it was a long waiting list because it was on the NHS, but I've just been through a course of CBT, which has been really helpful. I also experimented with EMDR, which is another type of therapy, which I've talked about extensively on the radio show, and those were really helpful. Another thing that I find really helpful is journaling, meditation. So I've taken extensive steps to heal, and it has actually taken a long time. But I feel like at the moment, I feel like I'm out the other side and I feel happy again, and hence ready to release another single.
Yay.
Even though there is some kind of anxiety about it and some trepidation.
Yeah, of course. I think that's your mind looking after itself.
Absolutely.
It's almost anticipating you to go through the same experience that you did on your second release.
Yeah.
And looking after your mind. And I think that's a good way to observe those feelings and observe the anxiety and the fear.
Yeah.
Is to almost recognise that it is just your mind looking after yourself.
Yeah.
That you don't need to put so much pressure in that, and don't let that stop you from producing again and creating again. Sometimes you've just got to ride it. And I always think that when the first time that you release something, the first time that you do a project, that novelty is still there and it's all really new still.
Yeah.
And then when you do a second one,
yeah,
it's really easy to compare to your last one.
Yeah. I think it's about you have to try to take the lessons from the way you did things previously. Mm. and learn from them. And so looking back at the way I did things last time, you know, obviously I put way too much investment emotionally in what I was doing. And it forced me, in a way, to change the way I was doing things with my music, because I was trying to do it all on my own. And I didn't want to stop doing music, but I realised that just being at home on my own making music in front of a screen was just not really serving me, that I make music for connection. I like to be around other people. That's part of what it means for me, is that connection, like with an audience or with your fellow musicians. And so it kind of got me working with different musicians, and I'm putting a band together now, and I've been writing with a collaborator rather than trying to do it all on my own. And I think looking at this coming release, I've actually got an assistant now.
Yay!
So my assistant is helping me, and it's just someone I can bounce ideas off as well. And I've also just been sharing my fears around it as well. Like this kind of, it's a song that means a lot to me. It's a beautiful song and I want to do it justice. I don't just want to chuck it out into the world. Like I want to nurture it and treat it tenderly and treat it with the respect and value that it deserves. And but I'm also trying to do it without being so attached to the outcome.
Mm. You touched on a couple of really good suggestions as to how people can process the post-project depression, and also approaching a new project is looking at what works for you.
Yeah.
So where you said that sitting behind a screen, you just realised it wasn't good for you, you needed that connection, and then you made those changes to then suit your needs and your requirements to continue to create in the way that you want to, but also look into the people who can help you. You being a solo artist, even though like you have all of those skills to do everything, you can't do everything. Sometimes you need the people around you to support you.
Yeah.
And whether that is like musicians around you or an assistant or an audience or your friends, your family.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just really important to reach out rather than just sit there and dwell in your own mind.
Yeah.
Which we've all done.
Yeah, I think one of the other difficult things about doing music is that you want your family and friends to be invested in you and to be celebrating everything you do, but they don't always. They're perhaps not that interested in music, or perhaps they're interested in music but they don't like the kind of music that you're doing, or they're just busy. You know, there's so many reasons why the people that you care about might not be able to show up for you, and I think you need to not take it personally. And that's another thing that I've really struggled with and had to come to terms with as an artist, is not everybody's going to like my music. And that's okay.
Mm.
But I think when I was kind of new to releasing music, it was like, I just wanted everybody to celebrate that. And, you know, my family are a bit non-communicative when it comes to that kind of stuff, to be fair. And I remember sort of, releasing a video and stuff and just like being almost disturbed by the like lack of response from my family. And it was just like, oh, okay. They're just not really musical people. They're just not perhaps the type of people that listen to music at home. Maybe they watch TV. Maybe they have other hobbies. I mean, I have a big family, and some of them are interested. I'm not saying all of them are interested, but I have had to just sort of get used to that.
I experience a similar thing, but it's not that they're not interested. When like family politics, one doesn't want to be there because somebody else is there and all of this. So that's what I experience, especially within my first one. No, it would have been up to the third runway. There was a lot of that, a lot of politics going on. And initially I was like, oh, do I need to, invite one? Do I need to get involved? And I decided like they're all adults.
They can sort it out.
And if they want to be there and if they can be there, they will be there. And I initially got really upset over it and I took it very personally. And then at the end, I just ended up releasing myself of all of that and just, if they want to be there, they'll be there. If not, then that's also okay.
And that's their choice, yeah.
Absolutely. And, there's been runways where they've all turned up and it's all been really peaceful, which was a huge, like, that I took a lot, that I actually celebrated that a lot because that was quite rare. And then, after a while, they stopped bringing their anxieties into it, which I also appreciated.
Yeah.
Because when I'm working on a project, like, the last thing that I need to do and deal with is family politics.
Absolutely, yeah.
So sometimes, like, it's easy to get entwined in it all. But sometimes the best thing for you to do is just stand back and focus on what you're doing and release the expectation on others to validate you. And I know that sounds quite blunt, but in a way, you don't need that. Sometimes you can just find that validation from you, appreciating the work that you do, being grateful, giving yourself grace, but also like look into people who are there and who are there to support and celebrate with you.
Yeah, it's a really good feeling when you get to that place. There's a freedom in it. But I think within this discussion, what's coming up is that there's so many factors that can influence the way you feel when you're creating a project. It's the amount of effort you put in, but it's also the amount of emotion that you put in as well, isn't it? But you've done some research, haven't you, on post-project depression?
Yes, I have. So there's actually a term for it.
Yeah.
And this was created by Dr. Tal Ben-Shahar, and he called it arrival fallacy. And it's about the false belief that achieving a specific goal will bring lasting satisfaction to you. It's almost like grass is greener. So once you achieve something, everything's going to be amazing. You're going to like live in this achievement, put the crown on, everything's done and dusted. But it's not, it doesn't work out like that. Another term for it is hedonic adaptation, where our brains quickly get used to new circumstances and what once seemed like a major achievement becomes the new normal. And then you've got to adapt to that new normal.
Yeah, because it's never done, is it? Like, we're always going to have desires. So when you reach one desire, then you're going to have another desire immediately.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. We're human beings. We strive on, moving and focusing on certain goals. And we also run off of serotonin and dopamine, of which those achievements allow us to receive. But then when we don't have that goal in mind, you can be left feeling dissatisfied. You can have a loss of motivation.
Yeah.
You can experience a negative self-perception.
Yeah.
This can also strain your relationships around you.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you're not feeling yourself, you can focus on the fact that you have this void rather than look into the positive things that are around you instead, so you can end up neglecting your relationships.
So
there's a lot that this feeling can affect within your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's spoken about enough.
Yeah, and there's also that thing of, like, you've been really busy, you've been doing so much, you haven't really had time to think, and then suddenly you're not doing as much, and then you end up ruminating, and you end up analysing, you end up thinking over every detail and, like, stressing about it and thinking, oh no, that didn't go right. And what about what that person said? Was that a subtle dig? What did they mean? And you end up just, like, sitting there with all this time on your hands and just thinking through all these things. And I think that's actually really unhealthy. That's something I've learned in CBT, is that we have to basically distract our brains from going into those rumination rabbit holes.
Yeah, and it's so hard to fall into those rabbit holes.
Oh my goodness,
isn't it? It's crazy. And I think a part of this could be the societal pressure to consistently create and work. I think we're in a society where productivity equals wealth, abundance, and value.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that you need to continue to create at the rate that you were. We as humans cannot continue to do that on a consistent basis, even though all of the algorithms tell us that we need to do that.
Oh my goodness, they are so toxic. The algorithms are toxic.
Yeah, but we don't. Like, it's okay to step back.
Yeah. Do you know what's been happening on my Facebook recently?
What?
Is I've been getting these notifications that say things like, you've posted 25% less in the last week, and you've got 40% less followers and 27% less engagement. And I'm just like, it's like having a bullying boss when you're working for free.
Yeah, that's rude.
It's so rude. I'm so fed up with it, honestly. It's just like, and if I don't post every single day, it starts to tell me that my engagement's dropped.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to get very angry about that. I mean, I must say, it's a hard taskmaster, and I don't really even enjoy it that much. So why do I do it? I mean, I suppose there's that fear of, you know, losing my audience, and they exploit that.
Yeah, it's a necessary evil when you're a creative or a business owner, isn't it, though? Like, it's something that it's free advertisement.
Yeah.
But is it free?
It is not free. There's no. An intense personal cost to it. So I think when we think about these things, we have to think about what it's costing us mentally and emotionally as well.
Mm-hmm.
As, you know, obviously you can pay for promotion. I mean, maybe paying for them to promote you is the answer, because perhaps it would take less energy and less investment on a personal level if you just sort of chucked a fiver at it every week or something.
Maybe that's what it's tailored to do, though.
I think that is what it's tailored to do, definitely.
I think I've read articles on that when you start paying for advertising, it will boost you, and then when you stop paying for it, it penalizes you.
You'll crash out again.
There's no winning.
It's evil.
Yeah.
It's actually evil.
Yeah.
And it's designed to keep you addicted as well, like a casino.
Yeah.
But we're digressing a little bit here. It could be, we do this on this show. We go off on these little tangents, and I think it's something to do with having ADHD
probably,
brains.
But we hope that you enjoy the ride.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I mean, you know, it's not a contrived show, you know, we're not sort of sticking always to the script, because I think the idea is that it's nice to have it a little bit conversational.
Well, yeah, we hope that that listeners can resonate with what we're talking about and understand that, like, we're all kind of in this together.
We are definitely in this together.
And in terms of, like, dealing with the social media giant, sometimes it's about creating your own boundaries, I think.
Yeah.
Are there days that you are off and you can just put your phone down?
Yeah. Do you think... Well, I think it's healthy to have a week off here and there. Do you know what happened to me? And this is, again, a little bit of a divergence. But when I was on holiday, I still felt that pressure of needing to keep up with my social media. So I was posting about my holiday. But I think what I've actually done is confused the algorithm. The algorithm doesn't know who I am anymore. And so I've instead of experiencing like that consistency of engagement and stuff, I've experienced more of a dip. And I've worked out, I think it's because I've confused the algorithm now, because it's like, well, who is she? What is her content about? So I think next time I go on holiday, I'm just going to like switch off from social media for a week, you know?
I think it's important to do that.
Yeah.
And like, what does it matter in terms of the algorithm? It's really easy to get like wrapped up in it, and you know, with more views you might get more sales, with views you might get, you know, more, I don't know, signups to your, I don't know, anything. It's easy to connect your value to the amount of views and likes and comments that you get, but at the end of the day, you're still like, rest is important. Coming away from the expectations of society is important. We can't live our lives constantly in that expectation vicious circle.
Yeah.
And I've started to see my social media more of just a portfolio.
Yeah, same.
And it's somewhere that when maybe you meet new people and it's a good place for you to connect with them, you know, if you follow each other, then you're able to keep up date with things. But I think it's not worth the mental toll to continuously chase this algorithm.
Yeah.
Because the algorithm changes daily.
Yeah.
So never gonna do it. Like if you go viral, amazing. But you know, it's not worth getting obsessive over it. I don't think.
And with the virality as well, can come the trolling. So that's another massive minefield to have to deal with. But let's just bring it back to the topic today, which is we are talking about post-project depression, because you have just done another runway recently. Mm-hmm. So how are you feeling now?
I'm feeling okay now. So it's almost was just over a month ago that I did it, and I'm feeling a bit lighter now.
Yeah.
I think I have always heavily felt post-project depression after them. I've, you know, gone into some really dark places after. And with this one, I was really happy with the outcome. It was the most content that I've felt during and like immediately after. But I think I tried to kid myself that I was fine and I was okay and, you know, I could just continue and everything was great and dandy. But 2 weeks in, well, like 2 weeks ago, I think I really checked in with myself and I realised that I wasn't okay and I felt lost. I felt that there was a void going on there. Like I was so excited to get back into my creative practices again. Like, I was really excited to start painting again or just start creating or start reading again, start writing poems again, doing all of the things, the creative things that I had not been doing for the past, like, oh, I don't know, 6 months, where I've been heavily working on the runway. And I haven't done any of that. And it's because I've had no energy, I've had no motivation. When I've started doing creative things, I have had no satisfaction in it. I've got no joy within it. And I think in hindsight, looking back at it now, I was just depressed. And that's also okay.
Yeah, that is very relatable, actually. Yeah, but I think the thing is that it will come back, like the passion will come back, might take a bit of time, and you might have to, you know, attend to your mental well-being for a while before it comes back. But I am testament to it does come back, because it's taken over a year, but my passion for music is returning. It's not that it hasn't been there all year. There's been a bit of, but it wasn't like the fiery passion that I'd had before and the excitement that I'd had before. But I'm pleased to say that it is coming back, and it's been that process of, you know, looking after my mental well-being, trying to understand myself, going through therapy, thinking of alternative solutions and alternative ways of working that might suit me better. And so I think, you know, just don't give up on your passion. It always comes back. And I think if it's not there, it's probably just an indication that it's time to stop, mm-hmm. that it's time to rest, that it's time to recharge and have a little holiday. But we are just coming up to our first break of the show. It's so easy to just chat, isn't it?
I know. It's just easy to chat and get taken away with the conversation and go on tangents, which we love.
Definitely, but we'll be back shortly, so stay tuned to the Persona Power podcast on Ujima Radio 98 FM, and we will be back just after the news, so see you soon.
Keeping you informed, the BBC News, brought to you by Ujima Radio.
The head of a national review into NHS maternity care in England says she has been shocked by what she describes as the repeated experiences of trauma endured by women and families. In an interim report, Baroness Amos says they continue to be let down by a lack of basic care and empathy, despite hundreds of recommendations made after inquiries into maternity services in the past decade. She'll make her final recommendations in the spring. Nisha Sharma, a solicitor specialising in medical negligence cases, says families want action.
They are at the heart of this report. They need to feel as though they've been listened to, and they need to be dealt with incredibly sensitively. And we're hopeful that the recommendations are implemented quickly so we have safer maternity units across the country.
Four rape suspects aged between 16 and 20 have been remanded to appear at Bristol Crown Court in January after being charged as part of an investigation into the rape and exploitation of a girl in Bristol. Avon and Somerset Police received reports that the victim had been raped in a residential property in St Werburgh's on the 30th of November. 10 years on from having life-saving heart surgery as a baby, a 12-year-old girl from Kingswood has said the transplant she received helped her have a normal life. Elodie Gray had the surgery when she was just a few months old, and she explained how she honoured the girl whose heart she received.
Because we get heart balloons, right, because of the deal with my heart works, we save one of the balloons, we go outside into the garden, and I let one go into heaven to send to the girl that gave me her heart.
And the TV series Rivals, which is being filmed in Bristol, was recognised yesterday with a royal visit from the Queen. Victoria Smurfit, who plays Maud O'Hara, got to meet her.
Oh, it's been a fantastic day. We spent the morning filming, and then she came along, and it was lovely, I think, to have Gilly's best friend here. You know, that's the human element of it, and she was so happy to be here. She loves the show, which is amazing, and she was hilarious and funny and kind, so it was very easy. We took tea with her at the Priory.
The BBC News, brought to you by Ujima Radio.
Hi, I'm Meg Cox.
And I'm Mary Miner.
And you're listening to the Persona Power podcast
on Ujima Radio 98 FM.
Hello, welcome back to the Persona Power podcast. I am Meg Cox.
And I'm Mary Miner.
And today we've been talking about post-project depression. And we hope that this is something that other creatives can resonate with, or, you know, anybody who is creative or not. Like, even if you're just doing big projects, whether you're an author or anything like that, I hope that this makes you feel like you're not alone within it. So before the break, we were just talking about how we were feeling post when Mary releases her music. And myself, when I've recently done a project like a runway, and how we were feeling post. And I'm here with some tips as to what to do after releasing a project.
Oh, do share.
So, initially, make sure that you celebrate and you enjoy that achievement. Mm-hmm. Really, really be present in what you've achieved. Like, be grateful for the time that you've put into it. Give yourself grace if some things haven't gone right. as well. Like, we're not all robots. We can't do everything perfect all of the time, but that's where the beauty is, in that we are human and we are creative, and what we produce is magic and amazing. So yes, make sure you celebrate it and then rest.
Yeah.
You need to rest. When I was looking into and researching this topic before the podcast, I actually saw a lot of people speaking about how they found it helpful to just continue to go into another big project immediately after, which that could somewhat work for some people. But I think for me personally, I do not have the stamina for that. I put every ounce of my being into certain projects. And if I continued with that energy post event, I would burn out very quickly. What do you think? How would you go into something creative post project?
Well, when I think back to my last release, it was probably quite quick after the one before. So yeah, I kind of threw myself into it with the idea that I'm going to release a song every couple of months and be really consistent with it. And so yeah, I think, you know, it is an individual thing, isn't it?
You
know,
yes,
we're not all the same. But I think it is, like I said earlier, it's about learning from our experiences. So it's like learning what works for you. I think making notes about what went well, what went wrong, what you do differently next time can be super helpful.
Definitely.
And you can really learn from that. And I personally really like that tip about celebrating, you know, doing something specific to celebrate what you've done, whether it be have a spa day, book a massage, have a little holiday, go out for dinner with some loved ones. Just do something to honour what you've done and what you've been through, and surround yourself with people that do celebrate you as well.
Absolutely, you know. Yeah, I totally agree with you.
Yeah,
that's what, like, after the runway, both my my best friend and my partner went out. We went out for dinner, so it was separately, but it was really nice to sit and enjoy it. And they were both very much involved with the runway as well. They helped me so much with that. I wouldn't have been able to do it without them. So to be able to sit there and really, like, go back on all of the good things that happened, how they experienced it, and it really solidified the fact that it happened as well. Because initially after, it feels a little bit like I'm delirious and, you know, I'm not really sure what has happened. But I think they helped to ground me after the event, which is great. And reflection was going to be my next point as well, which you brought up, which is exactly it. It's really good to sit and sometimes go through all of the things that went right, all of the things that maybe didn't, but then you're able to go into another project, whether you're going to do a second version, a third version, fifth version, whatever, of that project that you've just done. It's really important to have your findings from it, because you're then able to continue creating it in a really positive and constructive way. But I think it allows you to address the shadow as well that you may have. So if anybody has done shadow work before, it's a really fantastic way to work through your emotions, maybe your trauma. But post project, there's going to be a lot of criticism from yourself, could be, or from other people as well. So having some time where you can sit and really look through the things that maybe are sitting at the back of your mind and, you know, causing you stress or causing you worries, to really put those onto paper means that they're not in your brain anymore.
Yeah, definitely. And also, I think even if things didn't go the way you wanted them to, that you need to celebrate the fact that you were brave enough to try.
Absolutely.
Because so many people don't try. And I think we sometimes forget that we learn from doing, and we learn from having experiences and being brave enough to face the world and do the things that make us grow.
Absolutely.
You know, and so I think if you can just celebrate that you did it, regardless of whether it went the way you wanted or not, and then just take your learnings and, like you said, your findings from that, and then use it to make the next time better.
Absolutely. Sometimes it's in the little wins. Literally just doing it was amazing.
Yeah.
Having that, because it's scary.
And it's important to know as well that even the most successful people have had many, many, many failures.
Absolutely.
Before they got successful. And it was their tenacity that made them successful in the end.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, you've got to keep working at stuff. Not like, if everything went well constantly all of the time, then we're never going to learn. We don't really grow without making mistakes and learning from what's happened. And sometimes they're not a mistake. Sometimes they can lead into other doors opening, you know. If something has gone amazing, that'll open a door. But if something hasn't, then that opens a door of learning that you can learn from. The next thing on my tips list was to create again. And I think once you've gone through the process of celebration, rest and reflecting, I think that then in a way can close the door to that project.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes conclusion and it's helpful within your mind, because then you can put down that book, you can put down that project, you can accept that it's done, and maybe that can help you to move on and to move on to a new project or to move on to a new creative thing or to not dwell in the fact that you don't have that project anymore.
Yeah.
And creating, whether that is within your professional life or whether that's in your personal life, whether that's, you know, a painting or some writing or like anything, cooking is another one.
Oh, I love cooking. Like, cooking is just one of the best ones for me. Because I'm just doing it for my own satisfaction or mm-hmm. perhaps for the satisfaction of the people that I'm cooking for. It annoys me that I in my flat I've got quite a small kitchen, because I don't really invite people around for dinner anymore, and that used to be one of the things I really loved doing. But cooking for me is a really satisfying act of creation.
Yeah, it really is, and I think it's an overlooked area of creation as well. I think that within everything that we do, we are creating, and taking note of the small things that you're doing and adding value to those things can help post project. And then redefine your success. So I connect a lot of my success and value to the things that I achieve,
mm-hmm.
which I think we all do. But there is those intrusive thoughts that once I've achieved that, like, where is my value? Where is my success? But looking at the small things, like an amazing dish that you've done, which was really, really yummy, and it's something you've never cooked before, like, that's success. I don't know, completing a video game, and that's success.
I mean, we can define our own version of success. We don't have to judge ourselves by the external ideals of what success is or what success looks like. We can define it ourselves.
Exactly.
For me, success is feeling like a personal level of satisfaction and a sense of well-being and happiness. To me, that's successful, because I think something you said earlier made me think of that saying that we're human beings, we're not human doings.
Ooh, I like that a lot.
It's nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it just makes me realise, and it's a cliche as well, but it is about enjoying the journey, and it's not about the destination. It is about remembering that no matter how far along we get, there's always going to be something more that we want. So we're never going to reach the destination, so we might as well just try to enjoy the process instead. And that's brought me a sense of personal satisfaction. It's like, you know, like writing a song or just having those initial stages of creation are sometimes the best.
Mm-hmm.
Those are sometimes the most magic moments, when you're feeling excited and you're feeling hopeful and you're feeling positive. I think it's about remembering that those moments are just as important as the end goal.
Absolutely. And I think enjoying that process, like, we do what we do because we love and enjoy it.
Yeah.
And focusing too much on that future is just going to lead us to feeling unsatisfied. So you're so right. You just got to be present, enjoy what you're doing, enjoy the process of it. I remember to stay as present as possible at certain times as well.
Definitely, yeah. Gosh, this segment has flown by. This is a really fun conversation, and yeah, we'll continue it. We've got another segment after these little ads that are coming up, so stay tuned to the Persona Power Podcast on Ujima Radio 98 FM, and we'll be back soon.
Yay, see you in a sec. Cold out there. Here at Ujima Radio, we're all about supporting the local community. So here are some festive messages from local businesses.
Hey, this is Clay from Mature. I hope you guys are all well. First, I want to big up to all my Mature ravers for supporting Mature over the years. Big up to my Ujima family for supporting Mature over the years. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year to you. For more information, Mature, make sure you visit our website, which is www.matureevents.com. You can also find us on Instagram, LinkedIn and Facebook. Merry Christmas to all of you and Happy New Year.
Parks CIC, preventative and restorative counseling services in the heart of St. Paul's. Need to change patterns in your life? Are you stuck in the past? Do you feel no one is listening to you? Are you ready to dig deep into issues that stop you from living a regular life? And are you ready to explore those obstacles? Do you not have the support necessary to guide you through life at the moment? Then maybe counseling is for you. Confidential counseling is available from a culturally appropriate, qualified, competent counseling service right in the heart of St. Paul's. Email today, info@parkservices.org.uk. That's parcservices.org.uk, or visit the website parkservices.org.uk, or contact 131 Wilder Street, St. Paul's, Bristol, BS2 8QU.
It's that time again for Mature Events to celebrate the holiday season with the annual themed party. And this year, we invite you to join us for Mature's Touch of Red. Saturday, 27th of December, at Death Disco 12 St. Stephen's, Bristol, BS1 1EL from 9 till 3 a.m. You can be sure of another spectacular night out with great atmosphere amongst like-minded ravers as we dance away to some of our favorite R&B, soul, rare groove, slow jams, and reggae classics. Handling music duties will be Ladies Touch, Martin in Full Swing, and DJ Style, hosted by Mr. Juice. Limited advance tickets on sale now from skiddle.com. For physical tickets, call 078-66-417-114. Last year was sold out, so get your tickets early. You know it's more on the door. Make sure you get there early for happy hour drinks deals and 2-for-1 cocktails between 9 and 10 p.m. So let the festivities begin. It's Mature's Touch of Red end of year party. Saturday, 27th of December at Death Disco, Bristol. Smart dress essential. No hats or trainers.
You're rocking with the best here on Ujima Radio 98 FM.
Hi, I'm Mary Miner.
And I'm Meg Cox.
And you're listening to the Persona Power Podcast
on Ujima Radio 98 FM. Hello, welcome back to the Persona Power Podcast with myself, Meg Cox.
And me, Mary Mina.
And today we've been talking about post-project depression. So if you've ever felt like you feel lost after achieving a project, after doing something you've been working on for a long time, this has been the conversation for you. I feel like a lot of people do experience this, especially creatives. And just following on from what we were just talking about in terms of how we can recover from it, certain tips, I wanted to bring up how you can stay present during and after a project. Mm-hmm. Because it's really easy to get wrapped up in the past and in the future that you forget to be here and now.
Oh my goodness, yes, yes. Yeah, that is the main source of our own stress, is worrying about the past or worrying about the future. If we're able to be present, we can actually find peace.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it is so hard to remember to be present, because like our whole society is around like going to a certain thing, working, but then it's only in the recent 10 years where it's become normal to go to therapy or to, you know, stop and reflect on your own emotions and things like that. So I wanted to ask you, Mary, what what things do you do to help yourself, bring yourself back into the present?
Meditation is one of the main ones. There's grounding techniques you can use as well. So I can't remember if we touched upon this last week, but there's things like exploring your senses. So noticing five things you can see, maybe four things you can feel, maybe three things you can hear, two things that you can smell, one thing that you can taste. And that can make you feel very present. Putting your feet onto the ground and just feeling the ground, just being in contact with it. Maybe taking shoes and socks off as well if it's not too cold. That won't be me today. and then breathing as well. You can do something called box breathing where you breathe in for four, hold for four, breathe out for four, hold for four. Or another technique is to breathe in and make sure your breath out is slightly longer than your breath in. So maybe breathe in for four, breathe out for six. Those things regulate your nervous system. And it tells your nervous system that you're looking after yourself. So they can calm you down and regulate you, bring you into the present. If you struggle with being in the present, you can listen to a guided meditation. Mm-hmm. There's all sorts of tools that we can find online that are essentially free that can help us with these things. So I would say just find what information you can and be willing to try things out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. I think also look into the tools that you have, like your favourite music can help you just be and exist because you'll be enjoying that. There's different creative ways that you can do it. Like I find that I lose myself in paintings. And I love to journal, but sometimes my journals kind of turn into poems and I really enjoy the process of trying to like rhyme certain things or trying to think up different words for different things and make it all poetic and stuff. But just that process allows me to come away, just stop thinking about everything else.
Yeah.
Just that process. And I love to have a bath as well, because happening with the bath and having my playlists on, there's nothing you can really do in a bath other than lie there, which is great.
Yeah.
And I make sure that I'm not like on social media whilst I'm in there. And I think another way that I find being more present and a way to do that is to disconnect a little bit.
Yeah.
Like stop, put your phone down for a minute, or, you know, you can also put timers on your phone where you can have like certain times of the day where your apps will lock.
Yeah.
Or there's timers, so sometimes it will pop up on your phone and it will be like, you've spent blah 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 amount of time on it, we're gonna lock your phone or lock your app switch. Which is quite helpful because it reminds you how much time you've spent on there as well, which can be a little bit scary sometimes.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
But it almost like keeps you accountable for the amount of time you're spending on it. But other ways that are spending time in nature, going for a walk, for example.
Oh yeah, definitely. There's I read something which I thought was really interesting, that there's two things actually. So when you are around bird song, that's really good for your brain, because historically our ancestors, when they were living in, you know, hunter gatherers in the wild, when they were around bird song, their nervous system could relax because the birds would be an indication that there was no predators around.
Amazing.
That's one. And then the other one is, if you're in an amazing open space and you can see all around you, again, that calms your nervous system because your brain can see that there's no immediate danger.
Ah, I love that. Yeah, it checks out, because whenever there's a common near where my mum lives, where I grew up, and on there you can just see for miles and miles and miles, and it's such a freeing place to be, because you're like it almost reminds you that almost like all of your worries and stuff, it when you're standing there, it doesn't really matter.
In that moment you're safe.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about. It's about just feeling safe in the moment and not worrying about what might happen later or tomorrow.
Exactly. And I think being finding the tools to be present can help you with within your project. So within when you're working on these creative projects, if you remind yourself to take a moment, take half an hour, take a day to just sit and be and experience how you're feeling in that time, will help you to enjoy the process. Because when you're working towards that achievement, that, you know, that final goal, you can forget about the now. And I think it's chasing that future existence that can make post project depression worse.
Yeah.
Because then when you don't have that anymore, that's when you might start to feel lost or like you've got a void.
This is really helpful for me right now because I, as I said earlier in the show, I've just sent my next single off to the distributor to be released at some point, to be announced. and it's making me think, what can I put in place for how I might expect to be feeling after that? Because it's an emotional journey. It's a very personal song that's got a deep meaning for me. Which I'd love to talk about on a future episode, actually.
Definitely.
We must earmark that to be discussed. So it's making me think, okay, well, one of the things is I've got a holiday planned in February, so that'll be really nice. That I think when I go on that holiday, I'm going to make sure that I am not on social media. I'm actually going to allow myself to switch off for a week. The world is not going to stop.
No.
You know? Or maybe like pre-program some content using a content, you know, one of those content planners. But also, you know, to take care of my mental health as well and just put something in place for that. You know, maybe because you say that you book a therapy session after a project, don't you? Like maybe that's something to consider. Just take some time to celebrate with the people that I care about. And no matter how it goes, whether it's amazing or not, whether it goes the way I want to or not, I'm trying not to have too many expectations at this point. I'm just trying to be like, look, I'm going to let it go. You know, it's like having a child.
That, yeah, know, I know what you mean.
You can't, once they've grown up, you can't control what happens to them. And I guess you have to let go a little bit. And so that's like my song is my baby that I have to just trust is going to be safe.
Yeah. You know? Well, you've worked so hard on it and put so much of your soul into it that it is really hard to not be so emotionally connected to it.
It is.
But there's beauty in showing that raw element of yourself.
Yeah.
And it's scary, but it's also like, it's what you do and it's where your talent lies.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Aww.
Well, it's exciting. I'm starting to feel sort of butterflies and excitement around it as well.
Amazing.
So, I look forward to sharing more in the coming weeks about it. What about you? What's your next project going to be? Or are you just not planning that far ahead?
No. So I've come to it a little bit of a creative block within Runways, which is fine. And I'm accepting it because that's also okay. And I'm just taking some time to build my grounding blocks again and just exist for a bit. And I have faith that the inspiration will come back to me at another time. So
absolutely.
Don't fret, I'm more than sure that there'll be another runway.
It happens to me a lot, you know, after doing music stuff, I'll like lose my passion for music completely. And then I'm like, okay, it's going to come back when it's ready.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I'm not one of those people that's like, you must create every single day. There's some people that are very militant about it, but I've learned that with ADHD, you can't be like that with yourself.
No, you can't force us to do anything.
No, we are wayward. Our brains are wayward. But we have come to the end of the show, sadly. But we'll be back next week for another episode of the Persona Power Podcast.
Yeah, I'm excited. And thank you for listening today.
Yes. We will see you soon, guys. And don't forget, you can get in touch with us. I'm Miss_Mary_Mina on TikTok and Instagram.
And I'm at Clothemod, CLOTHEMOD.
Lovely. And I'm Mary Mina on Facebook and Mary Mina Music on YouTube as well. Oh, and I have a website, MaryMinaMusic.com. We'll see you next week, guys.
Bye.
Big love.
You've been listening to the Persona Power Podcast. I'm Meg Cox.
And I'm Mary Miner, and you can join us on Tuesdays from 1 to 2pm on Ujima Radio 98.
Hi, this is Desmond Brown, and anytime I'm in Bristol, I listen to the baddest radio station around, Ujima Radio.